Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We are looking forward to having another lively discussion. Before we get into the show, I would like to thank and remind everybody that this past Wednesday was the 16th of October, or the 15th of October. I'm sorry, the 16th of October. And that is a special day in the hearts and minds of Muslims, because it's the 24th anniversary of the Day of Atonement and the historic Million Man March. So for those of you who have been keeping up, you know, this is a holy day for us as Muslims and black people. It's a day that we should revere in its impact, and its spiritual, and also in our societal impact of that day and how it affected our brothers and sisters. So we will be discussing the impact of that and how that impact is consistent with us getting our own societies and communities. Right now I see our Minister of Agriculture, Dr. Ridgely, is on the line. I'm going to open his line.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine, praise be to Allah. After this great holy day, the 16th, and Mr. Farrakhan on the 13th, I'm still geeked.
Yes, sir.
Is anybody else online?
Yeah, we have people listening, but no one is in the queue as of yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I really want them to get in the queue so that I can listen and feed off of their thoughts. Can talk all day, but nobody might be listening because I may be talking about something that they are not interested in. So I like to feed off the vibrations of the people. So tonight, you know, we are to discuss the impact of the Million Man March. We're to discuss the impact of the thoughts on Mr. Farrakhan's address at the Christ Holy Temple on the 13th, this past Sunday. So I'm geeked. You know, I met with the minister, his research team, and we also had dinner. And I get torn as to whether I should give the greetings to the people of Assalamu Alaikum from the minister, but I will give the greetings to the listening audience. Of Assalamu Alaikum from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well, alaikum
salam,
sir.
Sure.
Please return the greetings to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, sir, and we have someone else in the queue.
Okay, great. So put them on.
Yes, it looks like it's Sister Majida. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Carlton, Dr. Ridgely. I couldn't get my phone unmuted fast enough to say, please return the greetings to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, sir.
Yeah, you're a little late on that one, so.
I am, yes, sir. It's a time delay.
Yeah, well, time delay? Yeah, you're in the next town, right?
Next room.
Nope, you're not. Next room, way down the street.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
Sister Medina, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot because you brought up the topic of discussing what the minister said this past Sunday. So I'm going to ask you, what do you feel were the highlights for you?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, everything was a highlight, but if I were to choose anything in particular, you know, I would say first that atonement, this time in our lives where we're actually hearing from the minister and having that address, I know for me it gets really introspective because, you know, I have to look at atonement with regards to myself first, you know, listening to the minister's words. I even, when I was taking some notes, I said, because you know how sometimes we can listen to the minister and think about a situation we may have had in our lives with someone else and say, that's that situation right there. And it's easy sometimes to do that, and it's hard sometimes to hear where he's talking to you, Sister Majida. You know that right there? Put a little asterisk by that one right there because that was yours. You know, don't even. So I did that in my notes. I'm like, that's me right there. And, you know, just when he was, you know, just saying we time out for the foolishness and really causing us to look at ourselves and if we're being true to ourselves as Muslims and believers and what are we doing? You know, those are some of the things that stood out to me personally most. I have to look at myself and see where I am with regards to the teachings and what we've been given. What am I doing with my time? You know, am I doing all that I can? You know, he talked about taking responsibility, you know, for our communities. And, you know, I think that was the title of his Savior's Day address in 2009. And here we are, what, 10 years later. And so I think about how much have I done with regards to that when I heard that call. And, you know, once he put that out there, you know, I mean, it's continuous, but it's, you know, like I say, it's introspective right now. And I'm still just trying to process everything he said with regards to me first, with regards to us as a community, as a nation of freed people. And, you know, it's a big slice of the pie, but, you know, to the world, to humanity. So I would just say one of the things that are most prominent in my mind is being better and just stop the foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and he did put it all on us. In other words, we have to stop feeling like Muslims and start being Muslims.
Right.
You know, last night, a sister in the circle brought up a situation that she ran into with a bunch of young teenage brothers, and how one of the brothers had beat up his girlfriend, and his girlfriend, after years of abuse, decided to turn him in. And the brothers were really upset with him being turned in.
Mm-hmm.
So she was supposed to accept that. And that was very disturbing. And then we go back to what Minister Farrakhan said, one of the speakers in the debate said that they would do when they came in office. And that is any church that would not marry gay couples, the tax-exempt status would be removed. Now, he said, well, Dr. Risa, how is that related to the situation with those brothers and that sister? It's related because our young people, because they're being raised by the enemy in the public schools, over the internet, on TV, movies, in a world that's amoral, meaning that there's no such thing as right and wrong. The only thing that matters is if you have the power to take it and to keep it. So as long as that young brother felt that he had the power to keep his woman under control with his fist, that's sufficient, because it's all about if he can get away with it, if he has more power, then he is in charge.
Right.
That thinking about the other person's position and that you have a right towards the other person's right. You know, you it's okay for you to want something, but then when it interferes with somebody else, you taking something from somebody, then you should be willing to give something back to the person in like manner. Okay? So why would you force her to submit to you, but yet you won't even be nice to her? Okay? That's what we are faced with, and then all the way up to the government level, they're saying if you don't do something that God said in the past was wrong, then we are going to take your tax exempt status. Then what good is a church or a mosque that is not going to teach what God said about how you should live? That's what the book is all about, is how you should live.
Right.
No, if you do that, then you can't be a church, a tax exempt. You can only be a church if you don't tell people what's wrong and right. Okay? So now our young people are left out here thinking that there is no wrong and right. We come in the nation talking about there is wrong and right, but the people who are teaching them that there is no wrong and right are able to give them a job.
Yeah, real. when you get down to the reality of things, you know, food, clothing, and shelter.
Those ones who are teaching me that there is no God, there is no wrong and right, but they are able to give me a job, and I can be as wrong as I want to be because it's all right, and they'll still pay me, and I can do what I want to do. Now, you all telling me, these young people talking to us, so you all are telling me there is a wrong and a right. But you can't even give me a job. And the people who's teaching me that there's no wrong and right are able to give me a job. Do you want me to diss them, disrespect them, and follow you? And you can't provide me food, clothing, and shelter? You don't have a community? You don't have no businesses? You don't have no jobs?
So we become without a tangible reality. We, in fact, to them become the mystery God.
Correct. I see what the white man can do. Tell me, show me what you can do. Don't tell me what you can do. Because, you know, money talks and you know what walks. So you just, hey, it's just a game. Like a brother told me one time, truth don't matter. You know, a couple of years back, truth don't matter. So, and I read in that, well, look, man, you ain't got no money. I don't see how you rolling heavy. You know what I mean? You don't got no Mercedes and no big house. You just like me. But yet you claim you know the truth. Well, you know, bring me something. Show me that you know more about the truth than I do. Okay? And that's where we're at now. We is show and tell. Put up and shut up. And we don't have a whole lot to show the people or give the people. But what we can is show them our striving by working together as a people. So it's time for the Muslims, the black Muslims, to follow the principles of the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay? Come together with your brother and your sister. Pool your resources. Stop giving excuses. The white man don't give excuses. He works together in a collective manner. You do the same. So now it's time for us to put those principles of the Muhammad economic blueprint in effect, at least so they see that we're trying to do it.
Right.
But right now they don't see that type of unity and us pooling our resources trying to set up businesses and communities. Okay? We got individuals who are self-employed, which is good, but that doesn't give this brother or sister a job.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, well, just do like I do. Oh, okay, you know, but that's all you can do is self-employed. You just get basic. You just got a job.
Right.
You really just got a job. Can you produce jobs? See, that's when you're the man. When the man, they talk about the man because the man is the one who produces jobs. The man is the one that can fire you. The man is the one that can hire you. Okay? That's the man. So if we can't hire and fire, we ain't the man. Now, you may say, well, you know, our teaching is spiritual and the physical manifestation is not our responsibility. Wrong.
Really? Who would say that in their right mind?
I don't know. That's wrong. Because, see, when Wallace took over the nation and destroyed it and then said that we're not going to build a black nation, that's when I left his organization. You know, I joined the Nation of Islam in 71. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed in 75. His son took over Wallace. And I started hanging with him for about 2 years until he made that statement that we are not going to build a black nation. Well, if we're not going to build a black nation, man, what the hell are we doing?
What's the purpose? Right. What's the purpose?
What's the purpose? I'm sorry. I can't hang like that. So now the people are confused. Now, there was a brother at the table at the minister's at the palace, and he brought up that back in the when me and him was in the nation, and I was in the early 70s, he started in the 60s all the way through the 70s, that the Nation of Islam was the only place, the temple was the only place you could come and get black consciousness teaching. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now you get it on the internet. You get it everywhere. So you don't have to come to the mosque or the temple or join the nation to learn about your black self.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how are we going to attract them?
Mm.
If we can't teach them something they don't already know, how are we going to attract them? Well, what they don't already know is how to work together.
Right.
And
and
you can't talk that. You got to do that.
Right. As the minister said,
so
we have enough people quoting.
We have enough people quoting. You know, that time is out for that. We're going to have to manifest.
Right.
You know, so this is what the time to leave is all about. In our little small way, we are asking people to come down here near the farm and let us start an example that we can use to resurrect our people. What do you mean by that? It would be a teaching that they can see.
Right.
Okay? So that now they can say, okay, that's real. Because there's people coming to the temples and to the mosques now are coming to get their letter to join because they have studied on the internet and in
mm-hmm.
books
mm-hmm.
about the teachings. And now they're ready to join up with some Muslims. So the question is are we Muslims or are we just talkers about Islam?
Mm.
Are we good rappers or can we wrap something up, package it, deliver it? Now it's time for the manifestation because everybody can talk now.
Yes, sir.
It used to be a time only the Muslims can talk. Muhammad Ali could talk. Before him, most of your athletes could not talk. It was embarrassing. When the camera was on, the microphone was put in front of their face, it was an embarrassment what came out of their mouth. But Muhammad Ali changed that. So now everybody can rap. Everybody can talk. So now you got to come up from being able just to talk it. You got to be able to walk it as an example. And you need others to do that with you. You can't do it by yourself. So that means
right.
now we have to learn how to get along with one another, how to trust one another, how to make our word bond so we can put our resources together and not feel that you're going to be ripped off by some slickster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because everybody out there got a game, and they think we just got a game. They think we just got a game just like they got a game. So now we're going to have to show it because they can talk louder than we can. You know what I mean? A lot of them have more avenues to get the word out than we do. And so now mm-hmm. we are going to have to make a decision. Some of us are going to have to come together and prove it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we have another caller. We have another Time to Leave panel member. We have Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Praise be to Allah.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to let you know I was on.
Praise be to Allah. Yes.
Right. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, and Dr. Richard has already touched on this, is a conversation we were involved with. And I think about that young sister who is, you know, trying to get some help for this boyfriend that's in jail now, that's threatening her from jail, that he's going to kill her when he come out. Now, what if we had a community
right.
already set up and you could suggest to that young lady, you go and live here.
Mm-hmm.
That means while she's living here, she's going to have to be under certain guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
wow. sanctuary.
Yes, yes. That's another way for us to get to our people. We've got to start somewhere. So why not start with this Muhammad Farms, building a community around here? I was so glad to hear that another young family have bought land and
yes.
they're thinking about moving in this area, building a home or whatever. But, you know, we were out today and we saw houses for sale. There are homes for sale all over. And one of the things I think about, too, is why won't our people separate? We're saying, you know, we're going to separate. It has to start in the mind first. But I mentioned something, I'll say it here. Dr. Ridley has said, when you wrote your letter, that was the beginning of separation.
Mm, that's right.
Your letter to Master Farad Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
That's
You're
right.
asking for your name.
Mm-hmm, your own. That's right.
Yeah. So how much else are we going to endure? you know, we're sitting in places where we don't feel safe. We don't have anybody there that we can. All we do is go to the mosque and go home and go to work. Now that's no existence. And getting back to this young lady, even if we had a place for, you know, those young men, because I shudder to think what kind of mind that young man has, that he can be in jail under punishment for what he's done, but he's still there threatening her.
Making threats.
Get out. He's
like his power
this.
Is so far reaching.
Yes, yes.
Power to do
and
evil. That's good.
Yes. And, you know, where does this stop? So we have a big job ahead of us. That's why I sometimes I feel like, you know, we are talking about useless stuff.
Mm.
We talk among ourselves, you know, we shouldn't be on this. We should be above this. That's why closing the gap. If we hurry up and close that gap between the minister and ourselves, we could have time to devote to other things.
We talked about that last night, Sister Anna. This morning, my husband and I, and just, you know, when you're busy building, in the conversation is different. So when you are together with another like-minded person and you're talking about the things you're producing and building by the grace of Allah, it's different. But when you're not and you don't have that kind of connection, it's difficult. You know, you're trying to find things to talk about, to take up space, so to speak. Because
right.
we're not productive is enough as we should be.
I agree.
Well, you know,
I agree.
Well, it's like today I had Brother Carlton to come over and help me to put up my printer. I hate these gadgets. Okay, I use them, but I really hate them. You know, but he likes this stuff. So I had him over. So what?
He does.
Okay, and so I got him over now. Now, you know, we have a productive conversation. Now, there's no way, listen very carefully, it is no way that I'm going to say anything to upset Brother Carlson while he's fixing my computer. Okay? Just very selfishly, for very selfish reasons, I'm not going to say anything that's going to upset Brother Carlson to where he goes stop fixing my computer. I'm going to be nice to Brother Carlson. Okay, I use it nice anyway to him, but today I got to be special. I got to think. You know what I mean? Because if I blow it, then I'm stuck dealing with this thing I hate, this damn computer and printers and stuff like that. So, you know, I've said before, and is that if we needed one another, we would find a way to get along with one another. Okay? Our
That's
problem
right.
is we think we need Massa. Okay? He has made, like Mr. Farrakhan said, he has interceded between us and the universe. So we're sucking off of his mammary gland.
Mammary
gland. Get sustenance. Whereas if we were faced with the survival and we needed each other to survive, we would figure out a way to get along with each other. Okay, we would figure it out even when we detested one another, and while we were around each other, we would figure out a way to get along with each other because we need each other, and this is why the enemy gives us jobs. Okay, he gives us jobs so that we can depend on him and not on ourselves. Okay, that's the only reason he gives us jobs. He figured out, well, as long as I can keep them believing in me, depending on me, and not going to depend on themselves, and I got them. I never want them to depend on themselves. Okay? So I get this article that someone sent me, but then I found a better one. I put up my Facebook page, Rigid McMean. It's M-U apart to M-I-N, Rigid McMean. And it's the first thing on my Facebook page. And it's about, it says the Midwest among the worst place for blacks to live. A new report just came out October 10th. I mean, you think about that now, October 11th, 2019. That is five times the number of people get kicked out of school that are black than white in the Midwest. And they were talking about here, like Waterloo, Cedar Falls area has the worst place for African Americans. In the U.S., Gordon study found that earnings for black metro area residents was 46.8% of those for white residents, and that African Americans there were far more likely to be unemployed. Now, you make less than 50% of white folks make on average in that town. Six Midwestern states, including Iowa, suspended black students at more than five times the rate of white students. Midwest states, including Iowa, have the largest ratio between black and white unemployment in 2017. Every Midwestern state imprisons African Americans at more than five times the rate of whites.
Wow.
And at every income level, African Americans are less likely to receive preventive health care and more likely to receive lower quality care.
You're breaking up,
at
Dr.
Every
Richard.
Income level.
Oh, yeah, but I have trouble hearing you, Dr. Ridley.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What about, is that better?
Oh, we're having trouble again. No.
Okay. Well, y'all go ahead.
Oh, that's better.
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, no. He looks like he dropped off. He's probably going to call back. So at this point, we'll make a station announcement. Brothers and sisters, if you're enjoying what you're hearing and you find this interesting, press the 1 on your dial, and that way we'll be able to bring you in the conversation. You can either ask a question, you can make a comment, but we'd love to hear your opinion on the topic of this conversation, or if you just want to make a comment on the minister's speech this past 13th, or if you'd like to make a comment on something, an experience that you've had regarding the Day of Atonement or the Million Man March. So press that 1, and you will be brought into the conversation. Dr. Ridley?
I wanted to say something. You know, I don't think, you know, and I have to speak for myself as well, I don't think we fully understand the importance or even how to live in community. It's almost like it's a new concept for us. We live that way by force and by not by choice. But now that we've had all these options to live all these different ways and be in an environment where, like we've said before, just doesn't have any boundaries, you know, I sit and think about this often. How do we go about it if we don't know how to do it, whether it's a trust issue or whether we don't know what the first step is? How do we go about that? Is it something that we just leap into? Or, you know, I would only imagine that there's enough of us out there that are just grappling with, well, how do I go about doing that? And I don't feel like I'm really being forced to do it, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can I go ahead, Sister Ann?
Yes. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, for the longest, it looked like Muslims were always moving. It's only been in the last 5 or 6 years that there hasn't been a great movement of Muslims. So I wonder you know, what would make them, I remember several years ago, there was a young lady that came to the farm. She came from, I believe she came from California. And she came and married a brother in Atlanta. And they started coming to the farm. And they had, at that time, two little children. And I asked her, I said, how did you end up in Georgia? She said, well, you know, my job was ending. And they told me they had one in Georgia. So I just packed up my car and I drove to Georgia.
Wow.
Now, this is what she told me. She drove to Georgia just to get a job. And she was working at Home Depot. And I said, wow, that was a big move. And I met several other people who had just picked up and moved.
Mm.
But now, all of a sudden, it seems like, you know, nobody's moving anymore. Or if they're moving, they're not, you know, telling anybody, or they're moving to be with parents or somebody else. But, you know, to move, that kind of movement, I don't think it takes a lot. I don't think it takes a lot. And when you say what can be done, or what kind of institution or program is available to help people make that decision, I don't think that's it.
Mm.
I think if they wanted to, they would do it.
Mm.
It's just like the Steal-Away program. The messenger told us, when you get on a job, find out everything you can about that job and make a plan to steal away.
That's
we don't even use that program anymore. And it's the same with wanting to move. You steal away. You steal away. If it's going to take money for you to move, then you start saving more money. If it's going to take you finding the right type of environment, then you scope out a place and you use your vacation to go there and just look around. Each time I have, you know, it was just moving from place to place in the same city. What I did was, when I wanted to move, I would go all times of day and night and check out the place I wanted to move to, see what it was like at night, see what it was like at day in the daytime.
Wow, that's really smart.
See what it was like on the weekend. So I knew what I was moving into. So that's the same kind of thing we have to learn to do when we're talking about separating. You know, I need to get out of here. You need to make up your mind. I need to get out of here. Well, I'm hearing about the area of the farm. You know, you don't have to be a farmer to move in this area. You
that's
just
right.
want a slowed down pace of life, a safe haven. And that,
you know,
to me, that's all it would take.
You know what you made me think about when you were talking, Sister Ann? You know, it's like living with a purpose, you know, rather than just existing. Mm-hmm. Well, living with a purpose, and then what is your purpose for your life? And, you know, the minister, he talked about that too, you know, how we're living our lives on a day-to-day basis. That's really something. So those of us that, you know, maybe have the desire to move and desire to be in community, I guess we should think about what are we doing now? How are we living our life? What's the purpose for our existence right now? What is it we're trying to accomplish where we are? And can we really do that? and how much better it would be if we lived in the community.
Well, I was thinking about that, Majidi. It's like you have to have a, you know, for us to get our people to want to move to build a community, especially a community where you're not going to necessarily have a job waiting for you, they have to have a compelling reason. And one, a compelling reason could be that you like or you're attracted to where a group of people or persons, what they're doing and where they're going. So it's like, you know, it's really not much of a challenge to make a move if you got a job and an income waiting for you. It may be, you may be away from your family. It may be, it may not be as exciting, may not have the nightlife and the sports and all that kind of stuff if you're used to that. But as Muslims, that shouldn't be primary. But if you have a job waiting for you, it's really not that much of a challenge. But if you're moving someplace and there's no real clear, you know, way that you're going to be successful, you got to have a real strong reason to want to move. And, you know, and one strong reason is that the community that you're moving to has a program or has a plan or is doing something that's very attractive to you so that you would be willing to take the risk, willing to be able to step out and work hard to make your living because you see, okay, these are the folks that are going somewhere, these are the folks that are doing something, and these are the folks I want to be around. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, me and you came, Sister Majida, is because we knew that, you know, based on our relationship with Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann and the Ministry of Agriculture, we knew that this is the place, these are the group that we wanted to be with. These are the people we wanted to be with because we like what they're doing and where they're saying they're headed and taking the teachings and following the minister's instructions sounds like something that we want to do. And so I see it. If people want to come, we're not going to be the only ones. There's people out there that's willing to, you know, make that risk and put the work in to make it real.
I just can't let Sister Ann get away with what she said without doubling down on what she said about that young lady who drove her car. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Who got in her car and drove because she heard that there may be a job there. Her company may be offering a job. She didn't have the job already, evidently. It was a situation where she was moving and they said, look, come to Albany. We got a job for you. It was like she heard, you know what I mean? People hear about the job opportunity somewhere, and it's more jobs here. And they would just get up and leave and go to this place without knowing exactly what job would be available, but they heard that they was hiring. So what we have become are slaves.
So we fear the challenge. We don't want to take any kind of risk.
Right.
We are looking for the best slave master with benefits that we can find. Okay? So we don't even think in terms of being free. We want a job to make money so we can have some things. Our happiness is based around things and not people. Okay? So we're not looking for a community. We're looking for a safe place to live as we make money so that we can take that money and be happy. Buy the things that we need and that we want to make us happy. He has made us completely, 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 completely materialistic. And he has control of the material. Therefore, he can move us around. That's right, Sister Ann. When there was this housing boom, when there was this business boom before 2008 and the crash, yes, Muslims, black folks in general, were moving, okay? They were moving on up, okay? And then the crash came, and now people are stuck. They can't move because nobody wants their house. They have to take two jobs and try to stay in the house. They ain't got nothing. They got no time for nothing else. So everything suffers. because now they're stuck, and it was all because they believed in the increase of America and not the fall of America. It is a shame that Muslims were thinking as though the prosperity would continue, yet we were taught all along there would be a fall. And right at the beginning of the program, Brother Cult, you always play that excerpt from the minister. And right at the end, he says, this has no future.
That's right. None.
He's not saying that it does not have no future for you in it. He's saying that this has no future. In other words, America ain't going to last. It's falling. So why would you want to be a part of something falling if you believe that God came to give you life more abundantly and for you to leave with great substance? So why would you stay until you lose everything, then expect for somebody to give it back to you? And now the Chinese and the French and the Germans and the Russians who got money are moving to America, to the big cities. They're buying up everything. Sell them your piece of junk. And then take it and get 2 or 3 times that down south here.
That's right.
Would you going to wait that things turn around? Why would you wait? What would make you think that things are going to turn around for the better when this is the fall of America?
Mm-hmm.
I just read you those statistics about the Midwest.
Wow.
We went there for the jobs. What the hell are you doing in Iowa? What are you doing in Wisconsin? What are you doing in Illinois? Why did your parents go up there or your grandparents go up there? It was for jobs. And now there are no jobs for you. So why are you staying there? Ego and the subjective, subliminal teachings of the white world that you are in a great civilization. You know, I remember the first Star Wars movie, and the whole planet was nothing but a bunch of tall buildings. There were no green trees, and they were flying around in these different machines from one skyrise to another skyrise, and no green. That's not sustainable. That ain't gonna make it. You gotta have the green to produce the oxygen for you to breathe.
Yeah.
You don't produce oxygen. You produce carbon dioxide, which is taken transformed by the green things to turn it back to oxygen for you to breathe. But we don't think in terms of that. We believe in the artificial world that the white man built. And we don't believe that he's gonna go down.
Because
if we believe that he was gonna go down, we would pull out. So we're looking for believers. We believers down here.
Yes, sir. And you know, the minister, he said that. He said Allah's calling us out because he doesn't want us to go down with the devil. That means the devil's going down and he doesn't want us to go down with the devil. So, you know, just calling us into a way that's going to save us.
And you know, I have lived around with white folks, rich white folks. In prep school and also for a year and a half at Columbia University, and then again back in Michigan State. You know, I had some friends in Michigan State that were white. And in my mind now, I'm looking them over. And they were not happy. They were not happy people. And I just much rather be around black people who are not crazy than around good white people. Because good white people are still pessimistic. They are pessimistic about life. I don't want to be around somebody who's ungrateful, who's pessimistic about life. And as nice as they are, at the end of the day, they ask you questions like, how's life treating you? What do you mean, how is life treating me? Hell, I got some of it, so it's doing pretty good. The question is, how are you treating me?
Right, exactly, because you're trying to control my life.
You're trying to control my life.
And
you're
then
trying to
ask
me to see life.
Me how's doing.
Yeah, you want me to see life through your pessimistic eyes. Okay, so I've been around white folks. I've been around friendly white folks. I've been around white folks who really want to be my friend. And every one of them, every one of them is pessimistic.
Mm.
Okay? I don't want to live like that. I want to be around black folks who know how to have fun.
Yeah. And
black person,
we have a caller.
Needs, okay, I'm going to say this. All the terms a black person needs is a tree and some people and some opportunity to tell some jokes.
Okay, so we have a caller. Caller with the last four digits, 7769. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Carmelita, this is Dolores Muhammad, St. Louis, March 28. How y'all doing today?
Fine,
we're doing fine. Thank you, Dolores. I would enjoy listening. Okay, I would like to ask you a question, Doctor. Okay, I went down the street. Already had a gas station. They own the gas station. You know, people come from overseas. So what they A-B-I-A, you know, from a holy city metro.
Oh, from Arabia.
Yeah, because
okay.
I went down the street. Okay, I went down the street. You know they always white folks. They always do. That's why they come over here. Okay, I went down the street. You were like the Ramadan. Okay, I went down there and did something. And he said, I'll come in. I said, why not the client? And they were selling all the cigarettes and all the alcohol and stuff. I asked him, how you going to celebrate a Ramadan? You sell alcohol and cigarettes. That's not right. What are you doing, playing with a lock or something? And he got mad. Everybody fell out laughing. Yeah, he got mad. He got mad at me. I don't care. You don't play with a lot like that. You're a mush. How you going to do that? You going to come over here and do what the devil do. That ain't right. You playing with him. Yeah,
that's
you
right.
So upset. Yeah, that's not right. You know they wrong. That's why white man kind of people don't care about you a mush or whatever. They come over here. They don't want black people. No. That's why it's like that. Okay? They don't understand. See, I pay attention. You got to pay attention. Everything. Now, what did they do?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, that's all I want to say. You know.
Thank
that's
you.
What I told the man. You ain't got no been selling no cigarette stuff. You a Muslim. Muslim. That means you kill your own people. That's what I told him.
Well,
right.
Well,
you kill your own people. What you think?
Well,
that's
I don't know
right. That's
ignorant.
What they're doing.
Well, you remember the minister Sunday?
Yeah.
He said that you have a Muslim over here with AK-47, talking about a lot of Allahu Akbar,
right.
Pointing the gun,
right.
And a Muslim over there with AK-47, talking about Allahu Akbar, and Allahu Akbar cancels out Allah.
Right. Right.
Both of y'all saying Allahu Akbar and you will kill a Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's not ignorance. It is hypocrisy.
No, I was saying
they know
they're selling it to the ignorant masses, us in our communities, because
right.
You know, they couldn't come into a Muslim community, a black Muslim community, and do any of that. But they come among our people,
right.
Our people that
right.
Don't know. And that's why I'm saying the ignorance, our people, they know what they're doing.
Right.
That's right. They know what they're doing.
In the back of Ramadan and over there with the Arabs, they talking about if you raise a sheep on a boat, then it's not a land animal no more, so you can eat it during Ramadan.
What did the minister say? Let me see if I can find it. What did he say? He said, oh, here it is right here. He said, you can use the Bible and Quran to justify sin. That's crazy.
Right?
Right?
If you raise a sheep or a goat on a boat from the time they was born, from the time you slaughter them, they are not land animals, and therefore you can eat that during Ramadan. Now, that's not ignorance. That is deceit.
Right.
With God.
That's why
the minister Farrakhan says we are going to have to be the example for the world.
Mm-hmm.
For the world. Not just our communities, for the world. But we got to build
right.
a righteous community to show the world how it's done. So we're asking
right,
people
sir.
To come and help us to build one to show how it's done. Thank you, Somalika.
And thank you for your call, Sister Dolores. We got another caller
yes,
we're going to try
yes,
to get
sir.
In before the end of the show. May Allah bless
yes,
you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank
oh,
you.
No, we didn't right. the caller. They hung up. Yep, that caller just, I guess they couldn't wait any longer.
What time, how much time we got?
We're down to the last 3 minutes. So we can make some closing statements.
Okay, y'all. Come on, y'all.
I would just say, this is Sister Majida. I would just say that I pray to Allah that we quick fast and in a hurry come to the realization of how important this community building is. And like you said, Dr. Rigida, the example, the power in the example that it holds, I pray to Allah that we come into that understanding quick.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what I would like to say is this.
Oh. No, go ahead, Dr. Rizzi.
I have enjoyed the Carlton and the Majida family. Since y'all got here,
be
and two of y'all had to leave because of personal situation in Oakland. I pray a lot that those two get back. But it's like it has been a real joy of being around you all. Where I don't have to feel restrained or, you know what I mean? I don't have to, there's no games being played, psychological games being
That's
played. You know what I mean? It's just
no
being
time
free and believers. You know what I mean? So I really
Praise
thank y'all
to
for
Allah.
Coming. You are my poster child for separation. You are poster child for separation. Thank y'all so much.
So come on, brothers and sisters. Come on. I don't want to be the poster boy. Come on. We need some more. We need a poster. We need more folks.
Right. That's right.
Well, inshallah, get on, tune in to our Facebook and check your email. Allah willing, we'll have another exciting show next week.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My grandma passed, my brother's gone. Hello. I never at once felt so Tennessee. Oh.